12. He's getting there. He's getting there. And remember, I did send it out electronically, so you will have it in your on your mobile device, email, even if you haven't checked it this morning. And this is a great document to have. That wasn't me. Good. Looks like everyone has a sheet. Everyone has a Bible. You're going to need your Bibles this morning. I'm going to run you around. So if you don't have a Bible, please get one. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We can get one up to you. And again, as you get your Bible, if you would turn to 1 John. Great, thanks. Everybody good? We also put it up on the big screen for you as well. Is everybody in good shape? Good. So what we're doing this month, I'm working my way through our ministry vision. Okay? A couple Fridays ago, I started out and talking about the first part of it, which is to bring in, right? And our challenge as a church here is we have roughly 85 seats in our sanctuary. And so our challenge is to build up our ministry so we can fill the seats, right? I'm a firm believer that if God provides any seating in a church, it's because he has somebody in mind to sit there. You follow what I'm saying? If not, that means God's wasteful. You know, he just has stuff to have it. No. But God does everything what? With a purpose and a plan. And this is where we intersect with God's plan. God has provided, and now it's time for us to do the work necessary to what? To now fill out God's plan, to do the work he's called for us. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but it's what? It's the laborers that are few. God said it's out there. I just need someone to go out there and to what? Bring it in for me, right? And so that is our responsibility. So every Sunday when we come in, we need to look at this and say what? Every Sunday when we leave, if it's like this, we got to leave and say what? I got to do better. I know. Here you go. Let's answer the question. How many know people in your life who need salvation, who need Jesus Christ? Yeah. All right, then we're without excuse. It'd be different if you didn't know anyone who needed to be saved. Right. If everyone you knew was saved and running for Jesus and on their way to heaven, then we'd be in a different position. But if we know people who need salvation, who need the Word of God, who need to be in the house of God, then look, we got work to do, right? Our job is to what? Bring them in here, right? So that, because the book says that what? Faith cometh how? By hearing. Hearing what?
The Word of God.
We got to get them here so that they can what? Hear the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the Word of God that is the transforming agent in the life of a person. Right? Not us, not music, not anything else. The Word of God is what brings men to salvation. Right? And so we worked out on that. And so we've got work to do. Every Sunday we can look and see that, yep, we've got work to do. Now we're to the next part of the ministry vision, which says now, after we bring in, now we have to build up. And that's what we're getting ready to talk about for these next 45 minutes. What does that mean? Because my goal in working through this month is we have spent a year, 2 years, whatever it's been, reciting this. And everyone, to a certain degree, knows the statement. If I ask you what it is, you don't really need the board anymore. You know what it is. Bring in, build up, believers, body of Christ, to be sent forth in the world. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So you know it. We've repeated it enough that now we know it. But now we have to go from saying it to now we have to actually begin to do it. And in order to do it, you have to have more than just a cursory knowledge of it. You have to know more than just how to say it. Now you got to know, well, what does it mean? Because what it means is what's going to motivate you to actually get out of here and do something. Are you following me on that? If your doctor just says, oh, yeah, your blood pressure is X, if he doesn't put that in some kind of context, it doesn't mean anything. All right, so my blood pressure is X. But he's like, yeah, X is too high. And so therefore now you got, oh, okay, now that you put it in some, now that I know what X means to me, now I know I got to make some changes, right? Because now I understand. So today, we're going to work on this build-up piece, right? So let's start in 1 John. Everybody there in 1 John? Is that me or you, John? That's me? Because it's on my thing? Or because I'm moving? I'm going to try not to move. But you know I got to move. That's the kind of guy I am. You're there? First John 2 and 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. What I like about this diagram in general and specifically these verses, to build up simply means to go through the stages of Christian development. Okay? And what you have in your hand, that diagram, is a visual picture of what spiritual development looks like. Okay? And you see it laid out there. The very first part of spiritual development is that we are all seekers. That means we are all unbelievers, right? The Bible says what? All have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. And so we are all seeking after God. Either knowingly or unknowingly, we are in some way trying to find God. Because we're unbelievable. We have no relationship with him. You spent time with me on last year. I spent time talking about and teaching you that when you're not saved from your sins, you actually have the wrath of God against you. You are an enemy of God. You know how we get up here and sing that song, I am a friend of God? Well, that's not true for everybody. There are some folks that are enemies of God, and God is out to kill them. Not their neighbor, not their ex-boyfriend, not God is trying to kill you. If you don't believe in his son and become a part of his family, you're on God's hit list. You follow what I'm saying? Not trying to scare nobody, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. You follow what I'm saying? And so when we're in that state, we're an unbeliever, and we need to be converted and become a believer. And so we go from being an unbeliever to becoming a new believer. Then from becoming a new believer to becoming a young believer or a young Christian to becoming a mature believer, a mature Christian, and then progressing into servant leadership. You follow what I'm saying? What you have in your hand and what's on that board are the stages of Christian development. Every last person in here is somewhere on that chart. You follow what I'm saying? You're either here today and you don't believe in Jesus. You're an unbeliever. Maybe you're here today, you have accepted Christ, but you're still in the pediatric stage. You're what they call a child or a baby in Christ. Maybe you're here and you're considered a young man or a young Christian. You've already received Christ, but now you're on a steady diet of the Word of God. Steady diet of prayer, steady diet of, and now you're starting to, you're moving past what you first heard, and now you're actually moving on to more critical mass in your walk with Christ. Then there's the next group. The next group, now you're the mature in Christ. And the one thing I want you to see about being mature in Christ, and it talks about mobilized disciples, one of the things mature believers do is lead other people to Christ through the Word of God. All right? And we're going to work our way there. And then in that last day, you're in servant leadership. Servant leadership is when the Holy Spirit looks out over a local church and calls out certain men and certain women to lead this process. That's what I call servant leadership is. The Holy Spirit looks out over His church. He finds those that are mature in the faith, and He selects men and women out of that group to now become forward and to become servant, to take on the responsibility of moving the church through this maturity process. So that when the Holy Spirit comes, when Christ comes, He can say, look, God, here were the ones you said. They came in as unbelievers. They were converted because we preached the word faithfully. They gave their life to Christ. We taught them diligently, and they became young men, young women in the faith. Then they became mature because they took the word they were hearing and then put it into action and started leading others to Christ. And that is how the Christian church grows until Christ returns. There it is. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. It's no ooh and ah. You got it in your hand. The question in this stage, the building up stage, for every person in here is, where are you on the chart? You've got to answer that, not me. My job as a servant leader in this church, my job is to make sure that you're getting the Word of God, which is the food of God. Jesus said, I am the true manna, which cometh down from above. Not the manna your fathers ate, which was angels' food. No, I'm the real. I'm the stuff that if you eat of me, you will be able to grow and mature in the things of God. And as you do, you will look less like yourself and more like Him. You follow what I'm saying? What 1 John does for us here in 2 and 12, it lays out those things. And I want you to see how this chart is biblically founded. John says what? I write to who? Little children. I write to who? I write to fathers. And I also write to young men. That's not a representation. Everyone look at me because you got to get this. What he's not, let me tell you what he's not saying. He is not talking to age demographics. He is talking about maturity in Christ. So when he says, I write to you little children, he's not writing to the youth ministry. You can be 65 and spiritually a babe in Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? You just got saved later in life. Right? No one invited me to church, so I was in a senior citizen's home. That's what I heard the Word of God. That's what I may be 70, but I'm still a babe in Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? Just because you've been born in the church, raised in the church, you're a PK, that does not mean you're mature. That just means you've been in church all your life. But you can still be in church all your life and still be what? Unsaved. You follow what I'm saying? So he's not talking to age demographic. I'm talking to children, talking to young men, I'm talking to fathers. No, he's talking about where you are in your spiritual development in the body of Christ. You with me on that? And 1 John lays it out. You're either a little child, you're a young man, you're either mature in the faith, and out of that group he calls out servant leaders to ensure that this process continues until Christ comes. Are you with me on that? Now, alright, so now we're gonna work the arrow. We're gonna work the chart. I'm gonna backfill onto the Matthew 28, the seekers part, because we know that, the Great Commission and all that. I'm gonna start right at, Hebrews 5 and 12. Turn there. Hebrews 5 and 12. You're going to make me go back. Go to Hebrews 5 and 12. While you guys are doing that, everybody look at my Bible. Y'all see that? If I were to turn this upside down, half of my Bible would fall out. That's a sign you need a good, that's a sign you need a new Bible. That's why I'm going to the bookstore. But that shows you this is a Bible that has been what? Used. If your Bible looks nice and cute and all that, you ain't using it. You know what I mean? You need to break the spine. Your cover need to have coffee and tea stains in it. Why? Because you're up early, what, studying it. You follow what I'm saying? You can have a cute Bible when you're going out, but your real Bible, it's got to look like you've been using it. You ready? Here we go, Hebrews 5 and 12, little children. Are you there? Hebrews, 5th chapter, verses 12, 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Okay, let's deal with that. He's saying that it is God's design, God's will, for every believer to progress through this chart and become a father. That's God's will. You follow me on that? He wants you, by this time, you ought, meaning what? I'm looking for progress. You should be here. At some point in your Christian life, you need to say, raise your hand if you're in the mature category. You need to raise your hand. I'm here. Right? And we're going to talk about what being here. But so that's where you are. That's where Christ wants you to be. You follow what I'm saying? So he goes back. He says, for by this time, you ought to be teachers. But what? But rather, he's saying, what I find is that some of you, that you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You should be further along, should be in the young man stage, you should be in the mature father stage, but you're not. You're still in the children stage, the baby stage, which is a proper stage. You follow what I'm saying? I'm using this to show you that there is a stage where you're just starting out. That's why anytime we have someone join the church, whether they're saved or unsaved, we take them through the new members class. And you know what we go through in here? In the back of this book? We go through the fundamental stages. Salvation. We talk about baptism, right? Talk about the Lord's Supper, right? We talk about profession, your prayer life. Talk about Bible study, lesson 6. We talk about witnessing. You know what all this stuff is? And hopefully all of you have gone through this. Raise your hand if you have not gone through this. You have not gone through this. Don't be saying it because you're scared. But you got to go. Because what? This is the baby stage. These are the fundamentals of the... This is the stuff you must know. You'll never go to the next stage if you don't know the basics. This is kindergarten. This is first grade. Second grade. You got to know this. You follow what I'm saying?
Here it is broken down in book form. That's why we got to take everybody through it so that what? We can say, yep, they know the foundation. They know the fundamentals of the faith. You follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say, I got it. All right. So you should be there. So he says here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, my desire is that you become mature. But right now, you need to go back and have someone teach you the oracles of God, meaning the foundation, the principal stuff, right? And he said, you have come to need milk and not solid food, right? Everybody got the image? Little babies, right? Babies can only handle what? Milk, right? Right? It's only after they begin growing that they can progress to what? Solid food, right? Right? With solid food, now they grow more, right? We wouldn't remember this as babies, but if we had brothers or sisters or grew up around mothers, how many remember or ever can recall a mother eating solid food, putting it in her mouth, chewing it up, and then giving it to the baby? You know what she's doing, right? She's breaking it down. That why? Because that baby doesn't work. She doesn't have teeth yet. Can't break that food down. And if they were to try to swallow it whole, they would what? Do you follow what I'm saying? So if you can understand that imagery, he's trying to describe here, this is the same way in the body of Christ. You got to get the basic stuff first, so that you have a foundation, so that you're getting some milk into your system. Do you follow what I'm saying? But now we can't stay there. You have to progress on to the next stage. You got to start taking solid food, right? You got to start eating some meat now. Why? Because we don't want you to grow, and then stop. And that's what happens to a lot of believers when they get used to the elementary stuff of the faith, the basic stuff. They understand John 3:16 and nothing else. John 3:16 is a great place to start, but you can't stay there. You have to continue being built up. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why? Because that's God's will for you. God did not give birth to you spiritually for you to stay a Christian baby. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not a baby anymore. The only way that can become a true statement, you got to be eating the Word of God. You got to be eating the Word of God. Are you with me on that so far? So you have come now to need milk and not solid food. Here it is. Get this. For everyone who partakes only of milk. Is unskilled in the Word of God. Here it is. Let me give you milk. Milk, I'm working this thing out. Milk here is knowledge without obedience does not advance a person spiritually. Milk. Knowledge. I know about him, I just don't trust him. I know how I ought to live, I just don't live that way. I know what to do. I know I should play racquet, I just don't. I know I should be participating in this fast, but I like to eat. I know that it would grow me spiritually, but right now I'm more concerned about my flesh than my spiritual man, so I don't do it. So every Sunday, all I'm getting out of the pastor's sermon, every Friday night when the pastor, the only thing I'm getting is the milk of the meal. Never realizing there's meat on the table. There's vegetables on the table. There's a starch on the table. There's a dessert of it, but you never eat it. I just want the milk. And I only want the milk because I don't want to grow. I like being a baby in the church. I like being a baby because babies don't have to do no work. I like being a baby because babies, all babies, when you're a baby, all people do is give. Babies don't give nothing. Babies sit in your lap and everybody walks by giving them something. Giving. Just giving. Just giving. That's what babies, that's how babies are. And if you can understand that in the natural, he's using this language to get you to see it's the same way in the spirit. There are some people that join the church. There are some people that get saved. And all of their Christian experience, they got their hand out. Just give to me. Don't ask me to do nothing. Don't expect me to grow. Don't expect me to develop. Don't expect me to lead prayer. Don't ever expect me to say, I just want to receive. I don't want to lift my voice to Zion. I want to hear other people lift their voice to Zion. I don't want to give God praise. I want to watch other people praise God. I don't want to invite my family and friends. I want to see who everybody else brings. Babies, living on the milk. And I'm trying to tell you that one, at one point in your Christian experience, that's acceptable. That makes sense. I can understand you being there. But after a while, you have to grow from that. After a while, you got to get the more weightier stuff out of the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say I got it. Here we go. Now we're going on Titus. Go to Titus. Titus 2:12. You got it? You have that? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. You there? Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm not a baby anymore. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Young men stage. Moving out, I'm no longer a neophyte. I'm no longer new in the faith. I'm a young man. I'm a young Christian now. In this stage, I'm going to show you something that I put on my sheet. If you have your sheet, I encourage you to write it too. Under the children stage, down in the footnotes, down at the bottom, I put receiving. Right? Under the young Christian stage, I put believing. And then under the father stage, I put sharing. You have your own notes. If you have it electronically or if you're in hard copy, put that in the footnotes of your copy. I should have got it on this one, but I didn't. But I want you to have it. So under the children stage, the new believer stage is receiving. Like I said, babies, receive. Just get, you give them to them. Always. Now under the young man or the young Christian stage is believing. And then under the fathers, the mature stage is sharing. In this stage, you now take what you have heard and you put it in action. Take what you have heard. I've been a baby long enough. I've been receiving it. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, yeah, I've been receiving it. But now, I got to start believing in it. And the demonstration of my belief in it is that what? Now I'm going to step out and try to what? I'm going to try to do it. Right? Isn't that how you know your baby's getting strong? Everybody gets excited when they take what? The first what? Right? Because now they what? Now they doing it. A whole new world opens up when a baby starts walking. As long as they're small and got to crawl and got to hold on to the side of it, their world is confined to right where they are. That's all. That all they'll ever get is what's reachable, whatever they can get their hands on, pull down, pull. That's all they'll ever. But once they start walking, oh my God, the world opens up. What? Because now they're believing. Now they're starting to trust their what? Their own. Now they're starting to trust what? The food that I've been eating. Now I can see it's producing something in my life. And if you can understand that in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Now I'm going to start. This is not, look, tie your Bible together. Now we're starting to what? Walk by what? This is your Bible in action. If you don't get this, shame on you. Now we walk by. We in the early stage, we just receive it by faith. But now I'm going to start living it out. I'm going to start walking by faith. The only thing that I have to prove that what I'm doing is going to work is the word I heard. That's the only thing I got. I can't go on anything else. I'm just going on the word of God. The word of God says that I'm healed. Nobody in my family said I'm healed. The doctor said I got another 6 months. Other people are telling me to take it easy. But God said, today you are healed. So now I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to walk it out in my bedroom first, because if I fall, I don't want nobody to see me. Then I'm going to go out to my kid. I'm going to keep working this thing out. You follow what I'm saying? And the more steps I take, the more confidence I build, the more my trust and my confidence in God grows. Do you follow what I'm saying? So let's look at this. Titus 2:12. Here it is. When you're in the young man stage, this is what you get out of the Word of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. What's one thing every baby does? Anytime you give a baby something, what do? Put it in their mouth. First thing. That's their contact to the world. They learn, they describe, they relate everything to how it feels in their mouth. It's their greatest sin. Everything they get, keys, car, anything they get, they're going to put it in their mouth. Food or not, because now I'm going to figure out what it is by how it feels in my mouth. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why I say all babies do is what? Receive. You give it to me, I'll figure it out, I'm going to put it in my mouth, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do with it later. Do you follow what I'm saying? Just receiving. But now, when you become to the young man stage in the Christian experience, now you get stuff and say, you know what? I'm not going to put that in my mouth. Now, there was a time I would have. But I'm more mature now. I know more about God now. I know more about what God says about this world than what other people tell me about this world. And so now I am going to start taking the counsel of God. And if God says, don't put it in my mouth, I'm not going to put it in my mouth. Although, watch this, although I'm used to putting everything in my mouth, I'm used to doing what everybody else did. I'm used to following after my friends. I'm used to following after the guys I hang with. I'm used to doing what the girls my age do. But now that I'm young in the faith, now I've got somebody else speaking into my ear. And if God says, don't put it in your mouth, don't put it in your mouth. And you don't put it in your mouth, you do it by faith. Because your flesh is going to keep telling you what? Put it in your mouth. That's what you do with everything you get, is keep putting stuff in your mouth. Now the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Now God lives inside. God said, nope, don't put that in your mouth anymore. Don't put that in your mouth anymore because you don't need that anymore. What you used to get from that, now you're going to get from me. So now, Paul, to his young pastor Titus, left in Crete, he said, this is what you got to do, man. I know you're young in the faith. I know there's others older than you, more mature. I know a lot's going on around you. But at this point in your life, you got to learn how to start denying certain stuff. No, I don't do that. Well, you're right. I used to. I don't do it anymore. Why don't you do it? Well, things have changed. Primarily me. Now I'm eating the kind of food where I can get that from a different source. And I don't need to put that in my mouth. So now I can start resisting, right? Tie your Bible together. The Bible says what? Resist the devil. Now you're starting to realize who can resist the devil. Young men can. Babies can. A baby, they'll just take it. I'll try it. Let me just put it in my mouth. See what, I don't know if it's food. I don't know if it's candy. I don't know if it's a Tonka truck. I don't know. I'm just going to put it in my mouth. But once I start maturing in the faith, the Holy Spirit now tells me, no, that ain't good for you. I'm going to tell you this. This is helpful. In the early stages of your Christian development, oftentimes what the Holy Spirit does, he heightens your conscience. Are you with me on that? He heightens your conscience, right? Everybody know what your conscience is, right? It's that thing in you that tells you right or wrong, right? Without any teaching, right? No, it's not like, oh, my dad told me that. No. For some reason, you just know, I shouldn't take this. That's your conscience talking. I mean, you don't have to be a church. I mean, you just know this ain't right. Hitting this person, I just know that. I know it just don't feel right. That's just your, that is every man with some image of God in them. That's all that is. Still sinful, still fallen, but some awareness of who God is. No context to it. They just know this ain't right. You follow me? What the Holy Spirit does in the baby stage, in the early part of the young man, he makes your awareness of things that are wrong, ungodly, unprofitable. Look at all these biblical terms throwing in there, right? Your Holy Spirit begins to tell you, this ain't good. That's not good for you. Right? Now it's your job in the young man stage to now listen to that voice. Say, no, this isn't good for me. According to the Word of God, this is considered ungodly. Worldly lust. All worldly lust is, James chapter 1, says anytime a man is drawn away, he's drawn away by his what? His own lust. Worldly lust are those things in the world system controlled by Satan that he knows you like. That's all it is. Every one of us have them, and for all of us they're different. What tempts me may not attract you. You can walk right by it. Don't do nothing to me. But when I see it, I stop. I start looking around. See who's watching. Right? Because I'm drawn away by what? This is what works on me. And what? The devil knows it. He's not going to tempt me with what works on you. You follow what I'm saying? But in the young man stage, this is what you do in the young man stage. Even if you don't resist it, you at least start identifying it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help you. It takes becoming 40 or 50 years old to finally realize your own lust. You're too confused when you're 20. When you're 30, you want to try everything because you got a little bit of money and can afford to now. Do you follow? It takes you getting around 40, 45, getting to your middle of your life to finally realize, you know what? Every time this comes my way, I get in trouble. Going back to my teenage, I can track it. I can trace it in my life. Every time this thing came to my way, it all went to hell in a handbasket. You know why? That's your own lust. And every time the enemy wanted to draw you away from God, he sent that thing to you. Watch this. He'll send it to you while you're in church. He'll send it to you while you're praying. He'll send it to you while you're watching television. You follow what I'm saying? The birds of a feather flock together. He'll send you people who like the same thing. So even when his pull on you don't work, he'll send somebody who's attracted by the same thing, and they'll start pulling you in. You will finally get, all right, I'm finally getting that out of my, taste bud, finally getting that out of my life, and here come old flip-flap. What you doing? You remember how we used to kick it? And now all of a sudden, you're finding yourself, I'm being drawn away again. This time it wasn't my own will, but this time the enemy said, help. But at least in the young man's stage, I got to at least be able, here are my three right here. And you notice I didn't say it out loud. Because if you knew what my stuff were, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. You'd be like, yep, we need a new pastor. Yep. Yep. Cassandra and all the girls, they'd be like, yep, we need a new pastor. Somebody else can help us sell these cookies. I didn't know that was him. But what? But that was then. This is now. I'm not a baby anymore. I'm a young man now. At least I know what I like. At least I know what the enemy's going to use against me. And now because I know what he's going to use, now I can what? I can pray better. Before, tie your Bible together. Here's your Bible working. When you ask, you're just praying about everything. Lord, help global warming. Help the president. Help this. Help Bill Cosby get out. Help this one get up. Are you just praying about all kind of crazy? No, once you start finding out what your stuff is, Lord, help me. I don't care if the world blows up. I got to get to heaven. And if I don't overcome this, I don't have time to just pray about foolishness. Touch your neighbor and say, I got a real devil to fight. This devil knows my name. He knows my email address. He's got my Twitter handle. He knows where I live at. He knows what color car I drive. It's the young man stage. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So I gotta learn to identify and resist ungodliness, worldly lust, my lust. And not only that, but now in this stage, I gotta learn to live soberly. Press somebody and say, calm down. Young Christians, baby Christians, are schizophrenic. They strung out about everything. That's why a lot of times when y'all talk to me, I don't say nothing. You know why I don't say nothing? I said, y'all got to live longer. You live longer, you realize that what you're talking about, that's foolishness. You'll smack your own self I don't have to smack you. Live 3 or 4 more. You'll be like, I don't even know why I did that. But you got to live long enough to be, use your body. Paul said what? When I became a man, I did what? I did. All of my life, my mother and father were telling me, but it wasn't until I got to the young man stage that I realized I got to put this stuff away. I got to put that away, and I got to start picking up some different stuff. I got to learn to live soberly. The believer lives a balanced, disciplined life. That's what a believer lives. A balanced, not too far this way, not too far that way. It's balanced and it's disciplined. You hear what I'm saying? When it's good, you know enough as a believer, don't go crazy. Because good don't last always. Right? When it's bad, when it's hellish, when it looked like it couldn't get any worse, the believer knows what? It can. So don't use all your tears now. It can get worse. But because I have a disciplined life, that means I pray whether it's bad or good. I'm on my knees whether it's sunny or cloudy. I'm praying to God when things go well. I pray to God when things are not going well. In the young man's stage, you begin to learn, you know what? I can praise God at any condition in my life. If I got the job, I praise God. If I don't get the job, I still praise God. And I praise God because now I know if he closed that door, that only means he has another door. This is what the young man now begins to say to himself. Do you follow what I'm saying? Discipline. Steady diet out of the Word of God. When I come to the house to eat now, I'm past the milky stuff. Pastor, you got to preach some real meat this Sunday because I'm hungry. I'm going to say this. You won't believe me, but I'll give it to you anyway. A Christian congregation has the ability to make their pastor preach better. You all believe it's the pastor, that's the preacher job. He need better sermons. He need better illustration. He need better jokes. He need better graphics. No, he don't. What every preacher needs is a hungry church. You know what makes a woman cook? A hungry man, a hungry child, a hungry daughter. That's how it works. For years, married 22 years, and even before we got married, all my mother-in-law would say is, you just wait. That's all she'd tell me. So you wait. My mother-in-law could cook. She was from the Caribbean. She had all that in there. She had soul food, all that stuff. Man, I go there, we just eat. I mean, we ate like there was no tomorrow. She had two sons. I mean, we ate. But when I married her lovely daughter, all right, another illustration. Here's another illustration. Paul said, now, Jordan and I are witnesses. She's not her mother yet. But she can cook a whole lot better now than she did before. And the only thing that has changed is now she's got more guys in the house hungry. Listen, and if she keeps trying to give us that microwave food, guess what the boys do now? I don't want that. See, as a husband, I'll at least, all right, I'll eat it. I don't want that. Jacob, I don't want that. All this food going away, if I'm gonna help grow these boys, I gotta start cooking some real food. These boys' bodies are changing. They need more than just simple food. They need the complex stuff now. And I gotta start cooking stuff that's gonna help them grow. And it took my mother-in-law to tell me, chill out and wait. That's all she said. I'd be like, shit. She said, just wait. That's all she said. More wisdom in that than in anything else. I've seen marriages fall apart over stuff like that. You laughing, but I've seen it happen. Because then it leads to something else. Then to something else. Once you find one thing wrong, you can find something else wrong. And then the list just grows. And now you're down at the courthouse getting the divorce. But it took my mother-in-law to tell me, just wait. It'll happen. All right? That's why the book says you have need of patience. Not just to keep your marriage together, but to keep your marriage to Christ together. Our marriages are nothing more than a reflection of Christ's marriage to the church. That's all it is. So anytime you argue, have disputes, you lie about God and Christ. I told you Friday night I had marriage counsel. I had to start it early because it's snow and all this other stuff. I ended the session telling them the same thing. They're like, oh, Pastor, we wish other people, and I said, we wish other people, because they go to a different church, could hear this and get all this stuff. And then what I told them, I said, they will. They're going to get it by looking at you. Everything that I'm pouring into you and you receive by faith, and as a young couple begin to do it, people in your church, your home, your neighborhood, they're going to look at you and say, what in the world are they doing? How can they get it to work and I can't? And I said, when they ask, you tell them. I said, now you be pastor for it. Tell them, well, this is what the Word of God says. This is what she and I believed in when we got married. And it's what's helping us. It's what's holding us together. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say I got it. I got to move on. That's too much. Just soberly, righteous, godly in this present age. You got to live it now. And then I'm going to give you this. I'm going to move off the stage. Here it is, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. When you start moving out of the young man stage into the father stage, this is how you know you're transitioning. You ready for this? You start longing for Christ to come. That's how you know you're transitioning. I'm moving out of the young man stage. In the young man stage, you want God to do everything through you. When you begin to mature and develop, what you want is Christ to come. That's what I want. You get into the mature stage. You know you're mature
when you're ready to die any day of the week. If he comes, I'm ready. Matter of fact, I would prefer that he comes. Young people, in the young man stage, you don't have that. Because in the young man stage, you still got hopes and dreams and ambition. You want to do this and do that, which is fine. That's what you're supposed to do. But you, when you mature, when you get to the point in your faith that when you begin to realize it doesn't matter what Christ does in this life, it pales in comparison to what God will do when Christ comes again. I can lead a church with 1 million people. It doesn't compare to what Christ will do when he comes again. You begin to read your Bible and say, that's what I want. I want to be in the great camp meeting. I want to be there when the 144,000 come in. I want to be there when the elders throw down their crowns. I want to be at the marriage supper of the... I don't want to go to any more of my friends' wedding. I want to go to the wedding between Christ and the church. That's where I want to be. And if dying is the ticket to get there... You follow what I'm saying? Go to Colossians 1:28. Let's get out of this. Are you guys being built up? This is what happens when you get a steady diet every Sunday, every Friday. During the week, I'm getting my own dietary needs met. But when we come together corporately, now I get what God has for me. And now I'm growing. There was a point in my life where I didn't believe God. But now I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I confess him openly and publicly with my own mouth. Now I'm to the point now I'm a babe in Christ. Now I want anything you can give me about Jesus, I'll take it. I want the Christian songs. I want Christian Bible. I want Christian radio. Christian, I just got an appetite. I just want it. Now that I'm going into the young man stage, now I got to stop receiving, but now I got to start believing. And all this stuff I've been taking in. Now I got to start walking by faith. Now I got to start living by faith. Now I got to take the word that was given to me and now put it in that. The book said, be not hearers only, but be doers of the word of God. Why? Because God's calling me to the mature stage. Colossians 1:28, him we preach. Him we preach. Not another Messiah. Him. Who is the him? Look at the verse before it, 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this great mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, more than any time I've ever seen in my lifetime, there are more ways to become spiritual than ever before. Everybody's got a way. Meditate, yoga, this religion, that religion. Well, we're like that, but not that. We kind of do it this way. Everybody's got their own way. I was talking to Brandon when he was home. I said, come over and see me, man, and hang out. We haven't hung out in a while. So he came over and we're talking. He said something that was interesting to me because I don't get it. He was telling me, you know, he does reporting and all that stuff. So he was telling me about something he was reporting on. And I made this comment to him. This is when he was working with the news station. I said, Brandon, that's not news. That's what I said to him. I said, you did a whole reporting on timing on that? I said, Brandon, that's not news. I'm like, who cares about that? You know what he said? He said, yeah, Yeah, he said, no, it's not a thing. He said, but if enough people talk about it, it becomes a thing. That's what he said. That was his answer. He said, Pastor, I agree with you. I thought the same thing when they gave me, this ain't a thing. This ain't. Why take the truck and the van and me and the camera guy go to, this ain't nothing. But if enough people get on social media behind it and keep talking about it and liking it and keeping it bubbling up, he said, it becomes a thing. And he said, that's why they sent me. Because the people, he said, it wasn't a big deal. He said, it's still not. But because people kept talking about it. Do you see where I'm going with this? Something that's nothing can become something overnight. And it's nothing. I mean, it's literally nothing. But if it can get the attention and the mind share of people and keep the chatter going about it, it becomes something. And now all of a sudden it's a big deal. Now they're reporting on it. Now they're doing news stories about it, which is really nothing. But because people kept talking about it, it became something. Paul said, the only thing we preach is Christ. You'll never hear me preach anyone else. I'll never preach about Caesar. I'll never preach about the power of Rome. I'll never preach about what's going on. All I'll ever preach is Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Mature believers can discern the Word of God. They can discern it. This guy is telling the truth. This woman is preaching the truth. Why? Because the Word of God will begin to resonate with the God in you. Do you follow what I'm saying? And people who have not been built up by a steady diet, preaching on Sundays, teaching on midweek, prayer and devotion during the week, anything you say can get their attention. And like I said with Brandon, it can be nothing. They can literally talk to you about nothing and draw you away. Why? You haven't been built up enough where you can discern whether this is of God or not. Put your Bible to work. People love to heap up for themselves teachers who will feed their itching ears. Say stuff I like to hear. Whether it be God or not, doesn't matter. Just say the stuff I like. Play the songs I like. Do the stuff I like to do. Are you with me? Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. I'm going to do this one Friday night. I don't know where I went, but I was called to teach a class to preachers, pastors. And I'm going to do it here one night. But I had a slide and whatever. And I told the preachers this. Two things happens when preachers preach. Only two things can happen. They preach the Word of God. They either draw people to Christ or they push them into hell. That's the only thing that can happen. Nothing else. Nothing else can happen. Either the Word of Christ draws you. Nobody can come under God, say what? Say the Father, draw him. And he draws him by what? The Word. Faith cometh by him. He draws you by the Word. So either what I'm saying, either is going to piss you off and cause you to want to get out of here, or you're going to be like, man, there's something about that. I don't like it, but I'm not going to leave it. It's not exactly the way I heard it, but But you follow what I'm saying? May not feel good, look good, or taste good, but you still want it. Right? That's God talking to God. Right? And he's just got to work through your flesh. He's got to work through all of your memories. He's got to work through all of your youth, all of the stuff you did, all the stuff you didn't do. He's got to work through all of that to reach the Holy Spirit in you so that a spiritual connection can be made. Do you follow what I'm saying? So that now you can develop a clear route for the Word of God to come in. Do you follow what I'm saying? Anytime a real gospel preacher preaches, only does two things. He either draws you closer to Christ, or he pushes you further into that. That's the only thing that can happen. Nothing else. Nothing else. Either you're drawn by the Word of God, or you're put off by it. That's the only thing that can happen. That's why preachers got to take the job seriously. Eternity hangs in the balance and where you will spend it. So I just get up here carelessly and saying anything about another. No, not shame on you. Shame on me. God's going to hold me accountable. I gave you the truth for you to deliver to them because I sent someone that Sunday for that message. You were too tired because you stayed up watching TV all night. You didn't have what you needed because you didn't spend any time in prayer that week. And so you got up and delivered a milky sermon. When I have young men and mature fathers in the audience and they needed a real word from God, and I gave it to you. But you failed. Woe be unto you. Whatever you do, if you don't do nothing else in life, don't ever become a preacher. That's what I tell every preacher. What? Damnation? That's not a funny thing. God is going to judge us. That's why I said you got to know how to rightly divide that thing. You got to give it the way God gave it to you. Not a plaything. Why? Lives hang in the balance. You're either drawn to Christ or you're put away from Him. Lives, spiritual life, hang in the balance. Where will you spend eternity? God's trying to draw you and bring you into heaven where God lives. How can they hear? Save the preacher preach. How? There's no other way. There's no other way. So God sends you preachers for this purpose. To bring you through the stages of Christian development. Why? By this time, everybody look at me. By this time, I've been pastoring here 10 years. Some of you have been here for the entirety, some of you have not. The fact of the matter is, by this time, more of you should be teachers. More of you should be more mature. You should be out of the baby stage. You should be a young man. You should be out of the young man stage. You should be mature. Many of you have gifts and callings on your life, but you're not ready to step into the things of God. And I tell you privately, and I encourage you privately, I say, I can see it on you. But just because you've been called doesn't exempt you from going through the process of development. You still got to come out on Friday night and pray. You still got to sit up under the preach word and get more word in you. Yes, you're called. Yes, you're anointed. Yes, God's calling you to spiritual leadership. But you're not ready. My job is to get you ready. So I give you pastors and teachers to what? Equip you to do the work of the ministry. The church is not growing because of you. Whole decade has come and gone. And in many ways, we're no further than where we've begun. One of us is at fault. Can't blame God. Either I'm not giving you the word, which should cause you to go through the stages of development, or you're not receiving the word. You've gotten into a stage and you say, I like it here. Even though God says, you should be teaching. God said that, not me. I'm not trying to make up stuff for you to do. This is God's will for your life, not mine, your life. He wants you to go through the stages because he wants to bring you to a place in God that he's created just for you. But you're not there yet. You're still laying on the floor, playing, joking. Church is a plaything. You go when you feel like it. God, I'll be there when you see me. Just whatever. Where are you on the stage? This is the vision for the next decade. We've got to get moving. You have to get moving. And it all starts with the Word of God. That's what propels you through the stages of Christian development. Shall we all stand?